Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all. I might just tell you this. I record our little talks here, and I put them up on an internet site and make them available to people who want to download them. And I was just looking at the record of downloads, and it was very encouraging to note that the last talk we had together, that's Thursday's, has had over 100 people download it. So, our assembly swelled by over 100 last week. In fact, it might have been more than that because each person who downloads the message might play it for themselves or they might play it for their family so that you might have far more than 100. So I'm just wondering, should we put out more chairs in case some of these people turn up? Though they've a long way to come, for I'm sure that there are people in America and Australia and all over the place listening in. So it's interesting how we can get the word of God out today in a fashion that Paul the Apostle couldn't possibly have done. We're turning to Exodus, the chapter 2. The last time we were together, we were considering how there was a similarity between Moses and the Lord Jesus in that Moses was rejected by his brethren. He thought they would understand who he was, God's choice to be the deliverer, but that didn't happen. He was rejected. And that's what had happened to the Lord Jesus as well. And here was a fresh likeness to Christ in the life of Moses. Well, we're moving on just a little bit from the rejection of Moses and the rejection of the Lord Jesus. And we're considering where Moses went to when he was rejected. And in chapter 2 of Exodus and the verse 15, we read, "Now when Pharaoh heard this thing," that's Moses intervening, when one of the Hebrews was attacked by an Egyptian and slaying the Egyptian, "When Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well." I want us to consider how that the Lord Jesus, like Moses, when he was rejected, went to the Gentiles. Because the land of Midian was a Gentile nation. Every nation outside of Israel is a Gentile nation. So Moses found refuge from the danger he faced in Egypt among the Gentiles of Midian. And you know, that's what the Lord Jesus did. In a sense, there is a parallel, there is a likeness. Because we read in Acts and the chapter 15, you older ones in particular, just look it up. There's no better means of us becoming familiar with portions of God's word than when we see it. You know, you always remember something you see much better, much longer than something you just hear. So if you hear me read a verse, but you're also looking at the verse, why, the chances of you remembering that verse are multiplied because you can actually look at the word. Look at the verse 14 of Acts chapter 15, verse 14. There's a discussion going on here, by the way, in chapter 15. Peter has done something which has annoyed some Jews. He has preached the gospel to Gentiles, and there has arisen a controversy, and there are those who went out from the church at Jerusalem and began to say that this should not be. The Gentiles must become Jews before they can be saved. That's not what God taught. And the Apostle Paul is right there in the middle of this battle, standing up for the truth and saying, that's not so. That is not so. The gospel is for everyone. The Lord had said to his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." He didn't say, "Go ye into all the world and make everybody a Jew." He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel that people might believe the gospel and to see you. And in the chapter 15, this great discussion is going on among the elders and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And in verse 14, James is speaking, and he's speaking about Peter. Simeon, that's Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So, following the rejection of the Lord Jesus by the Jews, God, in his wonderful wisdom and mercy, turned to the Gentiles. And in judgment, he turned away from the Jews. He turned away from the Jews. And he turned to the Gentiles. And the gospel now began to circulate amongst the Gentiles. If you turn over a couple of pages in Acts to chapter 18, we read there in the verse 6, Paul has come to Corinth, and he has gone into the synagogue, as was his practice. Verse 4, whenever he came to a city, he always began with the Jews. Of course, the Lord had said that. They were to go into all the world, but begin at Jerusalem. Start with the Jews. And they practiced that principle wherever they went. So here in Corinth, he has gone into the synagogue. But the spirit of opposition within the Jews was seen there. This rejection of the Lord Jesus is manifested. In verse 6 we read, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And here in Corinth, there is, as it were, a reenactment of what had happened to the Jewish nation when they rejected the Lord Jesus. And when they said, and Paul is even using these words, when they said to Pilate, his blood be on us and on our children. When Pilate was really arguing to set the Lord Jesus free, for Pilate repeatedly said, look, I can find no wrong, no guilt in this man, Jesus. The Jewish leaders provoked the people to shout and call for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And Pilate, realizing this is an innocent man, and feeling himself a sense of guilt at having anything to do with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, he publicly got a bowl of water and he washed his hands and he said, I am clean from the blood of this man. Now, of course, he wasn't. The right thing for Pilate to have done was to have said, this man is innocent and I will not execute him. But you see, sadly, being a politician, he was susceptible to public opinion. And the crowd out there were shouting for the execution of the Lord Jesus. And in order to keep them happy, he went along with it, even though he had a sense of guilt, and thus he washed his hands. The response of the people when he did that, they cried out, his blood be on us and on our children. And Paul the Apostle here in Corinth, as he is forced because of the rejection of the gospel message by the Jews in the synagogue, he withdraws from them even as the Lord withdrew from the nation. And he says, your blood be upon your own heads. So when the Lord Jesus was rejected by the Jewish nation, God in his infinite mercy and love turned to the Gentile nation. And you and I today have the gospel because of what God did in response to the rejection by the Jews. Just as Moses found a refuge, found a place to live amongst the Midianites, even so the Lord Jesus turned unto the Gentiles. And there was a welcome given unto the gospel among the Gentiles. And that's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Not every place, of course, welcomed the gospel, but generally speaking, there was a welcome. There was a welcome for the gospel and a receiving of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the word that is used, let me just explain this to you, because I would like to encourage you, whenever you're reading your Bible, to think about certain words that you may find there that God has employed, because God picks His words very carefully. Now, when we're gabbling amongst ourselves, we don't often pick our words very carefully. Our English grammar goes out the window, and we lapse into a local dialect. You know what I'm talking about. And we gabble away, and if we wrote down exactly what we said, we'd have to say, wait a minute, that's not correct. I'm using the past tense when I should be using the present tense, and I'm using the singular when I should actually be using another word. And there'll be all sorts of corrections to be made. But God doesn't write the Bible like that. The Bible is a perfect book. There is no more important instrument of education in this school than the Bible. That book will teach you grammar. It will teach you expression. Oh, how much it will teach you just about speaking. Never mind the vital matter of how to get to heaven. It's a wonderful educational tool. So, it's oftentimes very profitable to look at certain words in the scripture. And you young ones who are so much up to date with a computer, you can download onto your computer a very simple program, a very good program, called Online Bible. And with that little program, you can look at the Hebrew words and the Greek words. But you say, I don't know any Hebrew, I don't know any Greek. Well, the program will do all that for you. And it will explain words that God employs. And what's more, it will show you where the same words appear in other parts of the Bible, perhaps under another English word. And I want to show you that now. Turning back there to chapter 15 of Acts and the verse 14, we read these words. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, when I read that, I thought, I wonder what that word take means. What lies behind that word? And I looked it up. And it is indeed translated in various places by other English words, which helps you to understand just exactly the meaning of that word. But here's one I found in Mark's Gospel. And it's Mark chapter 9. And the verse 36, Mark chapter 9 and the verse 36. The Lord Jesus, he's in Capernaum, it says, verse 33, and the disciples are all arguing about some deep theological subject. No, they're all arguing among themselves, who's going to be the greatest in the coming kingdom of God? Isn't that an awful thing to think of these men that were chosen of the Lord to serve him and bring his message into all the world. And there they are. Oh, I'm going to be bigger than you in the kingdom. I'm going to have a far more important position than you in the kingdom. No, you're not. I'm going to be bigger than you. And so it went on, like children. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that to you. But this is how they were behaving. They were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. And in response to that, verse 35, it says, the Lord sat down, called the 12, and saith unto them, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. I might just explain that. If you want to be great in God's eyes, then you be small. You be small. If you want to be counted the first in God's sight, then count yourself the least and seek to serve others rather than have others serve you. And then verse 36 says, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, He said unto them. Now, I can't read that, you see, without seeing in my mind that little scene. The Savior sitting down. He's talking to the disciples. And doubtless round about there are people watching and wondering and observing. And among them there are some children. And there's a little boy. Just a little boy. And the Savior beckons him over. And this little boy did the right thing. He came over. You know, when the Lord calls you, boys, you should come. And it says the Lord took him. Took him. Verse 36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them. Now that word took is exactly the same word that's employed in the chapter 15 of Acts in the verse 14, where it says that the Lord did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Same word. And you get, therefore, a picture of the mercy of the Lord and what it was the Lord did when he turned from the Jews unto the Gentiles. He did something like that which he did here in Mark. He called that little boy and he took him up in his arms. That's what the Lord did for the Gentiles. He took a people out of them to be his. Tell me, has the Lord taken you up in his arms? That's where you are if you're a Christian. We like to sing a hymn, don't we? Safe in the arms of Jesus. It's a sweet thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. May the Lord bless his word and bless you and keep you during the break. And may you have a good time. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to our hearts, I ask of thee. Grant your grace, grant your help. Be with the school this day and meet all its needs. To thine honor and glory. Amen.